Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
Mental Acumen Radio.
Here on Freedomizer Radio with, I'm Christy Rhodes.
Oh, and I'm Donald, yeah. I forgot who I was. I'm sorry.
We talk about health matters, mental health matters, and whatever matters to you.
Crazy from the heat, man. Sorry, I can't remember stuff anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Brain fry.
Right? The struggle is real. So we started the show back in May of 2020, and we're here every Monday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And you can find our older episodes on freedomizerradio.com or on the Freedomizer Radio podcast. I listen on iTunes, but wherever you listen to your podcast, you can rate and review the podcast to make sure to mention Mental Acumen by name. And then you can also visit and follow our website, mentalacumenradio.com. The link is in the show notes, and if you frequent the website, you'll know that I did have some sporadic times where I wasn't able to update very much, had a lot of things going on. If you listen very much, you'll know what was happening during that time, and I've finally gotten back up to speed and started the blog again, so it sometimes coincides with our topic, and sometimes it's just a random thought for the day, but it's just an entertaining thing. I'll try to talk Donald into adding some extra quips. Because he is really good at those versus the blog posts.
I've never quipped in my life.
Maybe.
I don't know what a quip is. I'm offended by that comment. Thank you.
And then we do encourage you to share the show with your friends and family. You can call while we're live on air. Our number is 319-527-6208 and press number 1.
Call at me.
And we want to encourage you to think globally and act locally. And we do this by supporting our local small businesses, and we just want to encourage you to do the same thing. So look into your community businesses, the family-run operations and the farms and the small businesses, the resales and the consignments and even garage sales, anything that helps put food on the table for your local community members really makes the community better, I think, in a good way for sure.
Agreed.
And then you can reach out to me for health coaching at coachchristy.com. That link is also in the show notes. And, Donald, what is new and good with you this week?
Well, you know, something we say every week in the housekeeping notes is supporting our local farmers, going to the farmers markets, thinking globally and acting locally. And, boy, I don't mean to be Donnie Downer, but we shuffled up and it's peach time here in Colorado, right? And we got our peaches, and what do you think about them?
I don't love this batch, but
they're a little underripe, right?
We didn't get it straight from the grower.
Is it early season? Is that what it is?
No,
it seems like they usually don't come until like late August, I thought.
Oh, no, it's plenty in season. It's just that where they're sourced from. And this particular source, this particular booth that I chose is because I choose them for other things. They do direct source their pie cherries, their tart cherries,
right.
But they don't direct source their peaches, and so it's a little different.
Yeah.
Because, like, some of their cantaloupes and things like this will have the regular non-organic type of labels, like, we're from Mexico, this kind of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and each farmer gets them from different places. Our Miller Farms, too, the one that delivers to the house, they've admitted they swap with other farmers to bring us a more complete CSA. And so it makes sense, and that's how farmers partner together to support one another. So I fully and wholeheartedly support that. It's difficult when you don't get the taste testing samples.
Yeah.
So That was it.
And that's exactly what, you know, I was thinking afterwards. I was like, remember the good old days when they had the toothpick sample girl out there?
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that was the last time I remember being blown away by peaches.
Yeah.
Was going out and, like, having those Palisade peaches that just exploded in my mouth.
And those I always get from that roadside stand, you know, the one. And so
yes. Just
every single year consistently, they are the best in town.
Yes. And I'm going to try again, but...
I still want some peaches because I want to figure out how to can them, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh, for sure. But, yeah, the cantaloupe was lacking as well. And
not right.
Am I just spoiled because of our trip down to East Texas?
I think so, because we're still early in the season for some of those things. And if they don't grow it on their local farm in Schofield, I don't know if they have a farm per se. So some of the other ones, like, if they don't grow it on their farm, they have to travel, they have to ship it when it's not ripe, and it's just our bad for trying to eat them too fast.
I mean, because that makes my second, like, clinker at the farmer's market in 2 weeks. I went to the farmer's market the week before, bought a handful of tamales.
That's true.
And they were still goopy, not quite done yet.
And, of course, we meant to eat them there as
a picnic table. Yeah. I was going to eat them right there at the picnic table as my breakfast.
And we ate as much as we could.
Yeah. Okay. That ends my ranting about...
Okay, so some new and good.
About getting substandard farmer's market. But anyway, new and good. Well, I've been basking in the heat this week, as we all have been here in Colorado. And I've been kind of lacking on doing a lot of outdoor exercise because I just literally go outside and I'm out there for about 10 or 15 minutes and I'm just like, man, this is giving me a headache. I got to get out of here. You know, I'm acclimated to our mild weather we have here in the Front Range. And... I don't know. I should be riding my bike over to the lake, you know, putting in a few miles, going for a dip in the lake, putting in a few more miles type of thing. But I just haven't been doing too much of that this last week. No big skin off my nose there. After we went to the tiny house festival the other day, I had a sunburn for about 3 days afterwards, which I haven't really had a burn that bad in a while. And it kind of made me say, yeah, maybe rethink some of your outdoorsy type of activities, because I love being outside. However, I never think it through all the way sometimes, and I'm like, yeah, maybe I should have brought a hat. Maybe I should have reapplied the sunscreen. I'm pretty good about putting on sunscreen when I need to. Real bad about reapplying it, you know?
So it depends if you're going to be a short trip, like a short little swimming trip like we do until we get tired.
Yeah.
Versus an all-day hiking event or something of that nature.
Or walking around at the tiny house festival. And then going to the lake like I did. So, yeah, I was a crispy critter this week. But it's okay. I got thick enough hair to where it didn't scorch me like it could have. Got me pretty good, but it didn't put blisters on me. Beyond that, I'm glad to say that I'm going to be grilling some ribeye steaks tonight. As soon as I'm done with the show, I'm off to Grill Town.
Okay.
But that's all. That's all I got. I've been working my butt off a lot this week, so.
Mm-hmm. But that can be a good thing, too, as long as you're not exhausted and taking time to rest up and stuff like that.
Well, my sleep, I only had one night where I didn't sleep really, really good, and that was mainly because we threw a belt on our swamp cooler.
Yeah.
It was bad. And I woke up just miserable. Sleeping with no covers on, going, what is going on? I thought I had COVID or something, you know, if I had a fever or something. But
got it fixed. Save the day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a firm believer in that CBD, and it makes me sleep like a dead person usually, which is the way you're supposed to be sleeping, I hear. That's all with me. What's doing good with you, Miss Christy?
It's been a good week. Work is, the hours are dwindling a little bit, as they'll do in retail customer service stuff from time to time. And so I'm kind of just taking what I can get, and I'm trying to, which is something I've been better at ever since the accident, was to utilize my time more wisely, because I feel like if I'm at the house, if I feel stuck, I need to at least be getting something done. Unless with the occasion every once in a while you need a rest day or a sick day or these kind of things. But for the most part, I need to feel like I've gotten something done, even if it's something you can't see, like a school assignment or whatever. But right now, I just finished all of my school assignments for my internship. I'm trucking right along. I'm still going to work on the internship, but very minimal hours. Definitely not putting in the, you know, labor-intensive hours every single week like I was. But just enough to keep in touch and just enough to keep learning, because I feel like I've learned so much through this experience that I want to continue working with her and learning from her. And it could pan out to be a job, but even if it doesn't, as long as I'm learning and growing, I think that's a good, beneficial thing to me.
Sure.
Especially if it doesn't stress me out. Because now that I'm done with getting all my hours, I don't have to stress about it anymore. And turning in all the school assignments frees me up until August 19th when I start school again.
Cool.
So I've got a few weeks. And in the meantime, I've planned to...
Camping.
Well, that too. But I definitely want to get some things done around the house. All these things that you neglect. I mean, you get the debris, the daily stuff, the laundry, the things picked up, but then sometimes it's like, wow, I know, I haven't dusted behind here in it forever. My last school break, I did things like dust behind the TV and this kind of stuff that you don't necessarily get to, which feels really good and accomplished, because you're looking around, you're like, wow, I never get to that besides your regular things, whether it's getting rid of some extra clutter, getting rid of some podcasts that I've been saving in my phone to listen to for a minute while I'm cleaning, or getting my garden back in shape, because I've been so busy between the internship and the school this summer that I didn't get out there as much as I wanted to, and so I'm like, it's not too late. I can still revive some of my veggies. My tomatoes are starting to look really good. Just got to get everything watered and pull the weeds, and so I've really been managing my time pretty wisely, I guess, over the last week, and kind of working toward that, hoping to wrap up my healthcare business stuff here pretty soon as far as getting my last test, my nerve scan, and hopefully that's about my last thing, other than maybe getting a cortisone shot in my back to help me out with that. But other than that, I've discovered kratom, or however you say that,
kratom.
And I'm toying with that, trying to figure out if that's my ticket, because I would 100% prefer to go natural stuff, and the CBD, you don't always pass the drug test and things, so I'm like, I'm willing to try whatever, and whatever works, because I'm finding that kratom stuff works for the daytime, and then the CBD for night, which everybody's got their own cup of tea, and I still prefer the natural alternatives, and I don't feel like it's things that you can get hooked on. You can form a dependence, a tolerance, but not like the junky thing where you have to have it, I guess, like a cigarette or whatever. So I'm hoping that I can find some alternative that way to kind of finish my healing journey, or at least get me to where I feel fully functional enough so that I can get back to driving again. I definitely want to try back driving again, maybe be done working customer service. I just don't like it. So we will see. It's good to plan. It's good to get things going. Still talking to my therapist and making some progress. It's all good things. I feel really good about where things are headed right now. I know we're in the crux of some changes going on, and then I've got this last semester of school to knock out. So, I don't know. Good vibes for sure.
And yeah, I think that as soon as you are into your last semester of school, that'll be about the time I'm going to start me a new career. I may become Donnie truck driver.
Right, we've got a lot of changes, and they're just right on the heels, and we're just getting started. So
yeah.
I'm like, it is so, and it's gonna fly by. I already know that. I mean, we know from our life experience that a few months seems like nothing, and we're just looking at all these changes starting before November-ish. So I'm like, wow, that's just right around the corner. August will fly by before we know it, because looking forward to school gives me something to look forward to every day, and then August will fly, and then we'll just have a little bit left before holiday time and some changes going on, so we'll see.
True, will be.
When you sit and think about it and talk about it for a minute, because, yeah, we've talked about a lot of things recently, but not how fast the time's going to fly.
I would love, love, love to squeeze in a little vacay between now and the end of the year as well. Blowout kind of one. Maybe when I get to go see a concert, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, that's just me. We will circle back around to that real soon.
Right?
Yeah.
It's all about putting things in the idea realm and then talking them out and figuring them out and then making them happen.
So, you mean to talk a little bit about what we're going to talk about today?
Yes.
Okay, well, I was kind of thinking about the last couple of weeks. We were talking about alternatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And alternative lifestyles, alternative ways of thinking, being a normie, being not a normie. And this kind of spurred me onto a similar sort of vein that I think we could explore this week. And it's very similar, very synonymous, and it's kind of this weird thing that I believe all humans have in them. Now, we all have this expression of ourselves that lives within us. Some people call it their soul. Some people will call it their essence. Some people call it the observer, right? But moreover, sometime throughout your life, you have this feeling that you are different. And I believe everybody is different. Everybody is different and unique in their own certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But the weird sort of thing about it is there is a very large portion of humanity that strives to be within the herd, that strives to be in the keeping up with the Joneses, the cookie-cutter house, living on the ticky-tacky type of mentality, right? And if that works for you, then it works for you, as long as we're all conscious and aware, right? The downside is a lot of times there's some sleepwalkers, a lot of sleepwalkers out there. But I wanted to do, we'll say an hour today, talking about differing opinions or thinking and being different. Because we are all different. Does that sound good to you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's play a few ads and we'll come back and we'll dive into this.
Sounds good.
All right.
Do you like talking about health matters? Do you struggle with your weight? Are you sick and tired? Of feeling sick and tired.
Why are you talking in that tone? What's with your voice?
Well, I was watching a bunch of conspiracy videos on YouTube, and they sound more ominous and compelling when the voices are, like, really low and scary.
You're ridiculous.
No, seriously. Check it out. Do you like vegetables? Are you presently living gluten-free? Are you a member of a secret society?
That'll do.
Are you in the Illuminati? Are you a Jesuit?
Really?
Do you vacation at Bohemian Grove?
Come on, man. Join us Mondays here at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time for Mental Acumen with Donald and Christy Rose here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Do you need male enhancements? Do you need iodine? Do you want some colloidal silver? Order now while supplies last.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at coachchristie.com. That's coachchristie.com.
Hello, my name is Donald, and I'm here with Mental Acumen Radio. I'm here at our nation's capital, and it's January the 6th, and the democratic process is on full display in the halls of Congress and out here on the streets, as many people have come to have their voices heard and redress some grievances to their government. Excuse me, miss. May I ask you some questions?
Yeah, I'm here to stand up for my children and their children's children. Trump was an immaculate president, and I believe God sent him here to rescue us from the commie party that hates our country today.
Oh, wow, really?
Totally. I think Donald Biden and Carmelo will start World War III and hold in the Bible. And when they're not at Illuminati parties with Beyonce and Jay-Z, they'll be killing businesses like my grandma's cake shop because of Corona.
Wow. Seriously?
Yeah. And cue the prophet, like, sent to warn us about the baby eating and the pee drinking.
Oh, my. Yeah, that might be a psyop.
If we don't take back our rights given to us by George Washington and Samuel Jackson, then we're going to be just like the Hunger Games. But I'm no tribute, and I can't whistle.
Wow. So I guess you're like a constitutionalist then.
No, I'm totally a Republican.
Wow.
Yeah, but we have some questions.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you for your time, ma'am.
They're opening the doors.
Oh, God help us all. Yeah, this is Donald with Mental Acumen Radio, reminding you all once again that the revolution starts between your ears.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitutional cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Well, again, I'm not as deep an expert on that as I am on vaccines.
Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them.
We want to thank you for turning folks in and making sure we are all safe.
For the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
From the people that brought you the roller coaster making game and who brought you the FEMA coloring books, it's the FEMA Camp Tycoon.
That sounds cool.
Here you will have over 800 concentration camps to choose from, Wow. You want Vegas? 29 Palms? Jacksonville? Start with Beech Grove, Indiana, and it's all yours. You'll learn how to get people on the red, the blue, and the yellow list. I want to be red. I want to be blue. Buy more trains. Get HR 645 passed, but don't pay the Senate too much money. You'll need to buy gas chambers with that. Collect barcode readers, sell souvenirs, and hit the high score on collecting millions of American people, I mean, right-wing extremists. Anyway, coming soon, FEMA Camp Tycoon.
Do you buy from Amazon? If you do, do you use Amazon Smile? Amazon Smile is a program Jeff Bezos set up to donate to 501c3 nonprofits. If you go to smile.amazon.com and designate Barefoot is Legal as your nonprofit, Jeff Bezos donates 0.5% of your purchase price to our charity. We need your support to fund our operations and promote the Barefoot lifestyle. It does not cost you anything. Please consider helping us out. Go to smile.amazon.com and add Barefoot is Legal as your favorite nonprofit and help us fight for freedom. Thank you.
Opinions or thinking and being different. A lot of times, you know, whenever we are younger, the idea of being outside of the group, the cool kids, is absolutely horrifying.
Right. We want to get along and be along with the group and be a part of everybody else.
And you know, the being ostracized is really frightening.
We want to fit in.
Exactly. And I don't know. It's you tend to come full circle in your adult life, though.
We would hope.
In that you start to kind of have a certain bit of disdain for the herd. Some of us do, anyway. I mean, I would venture to guess that there's probably a lot of the football player, cheerleader types that were in school that went right along into the normie type of crowd and are very happy to stay there, right?
Well, sometimes it's easier just to do the house, the kids, the job, and stay
right
where you are. And
right. But let me ask you the question. What do you think, you know, because being different entails a lot of different things, right? I mean, especially in today's day and age where we are told things like, you know, to celebrate diversity, right? And usually within this celebration of our diversity, the overarching idea is to pretend like we're all the same. You know what I mean? We celebrate.
And we still group ourselves with some other group, with a group.
Exactly.
Of a group.
Exactly. And this, you know, idea of, you know, celebrating your uniqueness, right? And it's really came to this apex here recently with minority politics, right? By minority, I'm not just talking about racial minorities. You know, you've seen it everything across the board. It's what minority can you identify with that will make you more special,
mm-hmm.
right? You're different. You've always been different. Which one of these groups can we put you in? Which one of these do you identify with, which makes you more special?
Which makes you less special by fitting yourself in a box.
Kind of a strange little bit of a misnomer, isn't it?
Because that's why the little blog post I put, celebrate your uniqueness as an adult and as somebody that's over 40, and I don't know, I think the life experience, and plus I'm an introvert, so I don't tend to go with the flow. I choose to kind of get myself out of those situations where I feel like just the everybody blends in. I would prefer to feel unique and special in my own doings with my own friends and family and feel like I'm a unique individual. And it sounds very weird to put it that way because it's like, yes, we generally want to go with the flow and not stand out. You don't want to be the one with toilet paper hanging out of your pants or
right.
be the one with mud on your face or any of these kind of things. You don't want to necessarily catch the eyes for the wrong reason, which is understandable. However, if you want to wear your hair crazy, if you want to wear crazy colors, crazy clothes, go barefoot, all of these kind of things, I think that we should be entitled to do that. I think we should celebrate how we are different, because if everybody was the same, and Donnie and I have said this before, and Donnie, I think, especially said this, if everybody was the same, then it would be a really boring place to live.
Well, leaders that push toward racial, ethnic, ideological homogeneity, where everybody's doing, praising, and thinking the same, these are tyrants. This is communist ideology 101.
And the division sometimes leads to the stereotyping. So the LGBTQs, you all have to do this, and you all have to be this way. The religious sects, you all have to follow these rules so that we can better control you.
And
the workers, you have to, the assembly line workers, we have to be able to control you.
And that's just it. And it's kind of came to this weird point in our society or in our culture, however you want to look at that, that I believe you and I was watching one of our chef programs the other day, and I pointed this out to you, that whatever minority these certain chefs could identify with is how they always lead
yes.
out in their language.
In your introduction,
yes.
you lead with your grouping.
As a white man, I therefore, right, but that's not a minority class, so it doesn't really count. But as a lesbian chef, I right as a single mom lesbian cis whatever yeah uh-huh. exactly, and this is at the heart of a what I would say is a cultural cancer in our civilization, in our world today. This ideology of tribalism, right? So if you are different, right? If you're gay, or if you're a minority or whatever, right? You used to be taught that you're unique and special and it's to be celebrated. Nowadays, it is a foregone conclusion that you have been abused in some way because of this minority that you belong to, which is why you always get to lead with it in your language. And I mean, I don't do social media, but I've seen things of, you know, the, oh, we'll put the rainbow flag up to support all LGBTQ stuff like that. Okay, well, is it disingenuous for someone like myself, being a staunch heterosexual, to do that? Because I don't necessarily support it. You know what I mean? If you want to be gay, cool. I'm a free-thinking individual. I don't believe that I have the right to tell you who or what you can have sex with, aside from children and my animals.
Right.
Right? If you want to have sex with boys, girls, cockeyed squirrels, whatever, you know, that's you're free to do that. But I feel a bit disingenuous by saying, like, I'm just so supportive of this. I'm supportive of that.
You're supportive,
right?
Of individuality, well, though.
Of course. But this is prevalent with the bombardment of the different, it's now this month awareness, next month is this awareness. I mean, right down to the six status, right? It's fingertip cancer awareness week.
This one, I think, is disability awareness month or something of that nature.
Eyeball glaucoma awareness week. You know, what little thing, what little niche can I fit into that will give me more of this feeling of uniqueness? It's really bizarre to me.
But by feeling included, do you really feel unique? Or do you just feel included in a group that also understands? I mean, and do you do it for the support, or do you do it for the recognition? Like, oh, I am part of this group because I struggle with this and you wouldn't understand.
And that's what I'm saying is, like, you know, a lot of times these, you know, well, as a glaucoma suffering, you know, person, as a person with fingertip cancer, as a black lesbian, right? It has to be the front runner of your Facebook profile. It's like that old joke. How can you tell when a person is vegan? It doesn't matter, because they're going to tell you in the first 3 minutes after you meet them. Right? It's the same thing with a lot of the other little minority little things where we like to put ourselves into these days. Right? I mean, you see this across the board with a lot of people that the younger people that are growing up, these kids growing up thinking, that, oh, my God, I have my white privilege. I'm going to try to suppress that. So they try to fit into one of these classes. Right? Well, I believe this is a demoralizing sort of ideology. It's victim culture. And in a more derogatory way, it's slave thing. And
we have to be careful not saying, because I don't want listeners to feel like we're accusing them of trying to fit into these boxes or accusing anyone of a certain thing. I just think it's important to bring this up because it's part of our uniqueness. You don't have to fit into a box. You don't have to even fit into multiple boxes or to feel like I'm the only one or anything like this, but just to be yourself.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself as like, no, I'm not the single mom who survived poverty and living homelessness or something. No, I'm Christy Rose and this kind of stuff. Just use your name, own it, own your individuality.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll give you a great example. I used to play poker a lot. Yeah. And a friend of mine invited a couple of friends spectator of the game, but playing, and played cards with this same group for like a few weeks in a row. And this one guy that I was sitting next to me for about 2 weeks, we were talking about a South Park episode, and it was one of these ones where the boys kept talking about gay this and gay that, and we all had a good laugh about it. And then one guy said something about gay, and then I said, why do you care? Why does it matter? He says, you know I'm gay, right? I said, no, I don't. Why would I know that? He goes, I don't know. I thought you just knew. And I said, dude, you wear flannel shirts, you have a beard, and you brew your own beer. So you're not exactly a stereotypical gay man, you know? And that's kind of what I'm talking about. You know, it's back in this time, it wasn't like something that, you know, you would just shake someone's hand and be like, hi. A great example of how this has come to a bit of a head is people with their pronouns, right? Hi, I'm Donald. I'm cis, this and that, and my pronouns are blank and blank, like that, right? Well, this is that language game that I'm talking about. And this gives people a platform to pronounce their uniqueness and or whatever minority they want to identify with, that gives them that feeling of embattled minority status. It's victim culture.
Not necessarily. We all want to fit in somewhere, too.
Again,
I mean, don't you want to have some group of people that understand some of the struggles that you're going through?
If I want to talk to them, yes.
Yeah.
But it's like this. People that are morbidly obese usually have to go to, like, the Biggest Loser type things that we've talked about or whatever before they end up having enough of a language exchange with somebody to get to the idea of why they are choosing to be this fat, right?
But it's not always a mental choice. Sometimes it's a protection, a subconscious thing.
Right, whatever it is.
But right, you don't necessarily have to get that. You can live fat until you die, and you can never get there.
Of course. And if a person could be an alcoholic without ever going to an AA meeting,
mm-hmm,
and eventually die, yeah, same sort of thing. A person could smoke cigarettes their entire life and die.
You may not want help. You may be fat and sassy and happy.
And I love these cigarettes, and I'm going to smoke them until they put me in a box, whatever.
I've been smoking it since I was 11 years old, and I'm going to keep it up.
I'm just saying, though, that our culture is wrought with this ideology of victimhood. It's rampant in political ideologies, health ideologies, personal, sexual, everything.
I don't think everybody identifies with a subgroup just because they're
I'm not saying everybody does. Those are the people that sit down and shut up. People like myself. I don't necessarily want to identify with any subgroup that's going to make me feel special or that's going to have a commercial on TV about it, right? I can't think of one, you know. Oh, okay. Herniated Disc Awareness Month. I'm going to be leading the parade this year. I'm out there, and I'm loving it. Woo, okay, I'm no longer in the closet about it's time for all Americans to know what it's like to be hurt with a herniated disc, okay? This type of thinking, right? Have there been people with herniated discs? Yes. Right.
And they may need support to talk to other people that understand, because it's good to not feel like you're alone. Feeling like you're a victim is part of that aloneness, the part of not having a tribe.
Right. So, say it a different way. Like, people that got the shit beat out of them whenever they were little kids, they grow up with certain problems that stick with them into their adulthood, right?
Yeah, if they don't get to work it out.
Some people, right, push that over, that stuff out onto their own children. Some people harness that anger and go become, like, in the military or a cop or a boxer, you know, or something. Some people become very subdued and very meek and quiet and never hear a word out of them again, right? But those people can get help sometimes if it's available to them, right? Not everybody has that opportunity, of course.
Right.
But that's an embattled type of person, right, that needs some help, right? And, yeah, I'm sure that we have Child Abuse Awareness Week or month or whatever. I'm sure it's out there, right? But this is, and I'm not bashing people that got the crap beat out of them as kids, right? I'm saying that this type of ideology of everybody, most everybody in our society needs to be able to identify with some sort of minority group to make them feel more special. It seems to be everywhere, right? Political ideologies as well. I don't want to touch on the religion stuff, but thinking differently and being different are just sort of, you know, weird ideas in our culture today, is what I'm driving at. Because within, I guess, I want to encapsulate what I'm trying to say here with this, is that we celebrate our diversity by pretending we're all the same a lot. But we wear our identifiers on our sleeves. Well, as a child abuse victim, I think that we should. Well, as a lesbian vegan, I think I should say it like this. As a Muslim, as a whatever, right? That is something that is at the heart of the American experiment, okay? That's why we consider America to be the melting pot. Any idiot that thinks whites belong with whites and browns with the browns and the blacks with the blacks, you know, that's outdated. It really is, because it's never been that way. It's never been that way. The ideas that you're going to make everybody think the same way that you think has been tried, and it fails miserably every time, right?
Because we're all individuals.
Exactly. So that is why so much time, energy, money, resources are spent trying to manipulate how we think, right?
They want us to realize that there's only two choices, A or B.
Yes.
Always A or B.
Yes.
There is no, wait, what are my other options? It's
yes.
Just A or B.
So in school, you know, being different was hard, okay? As an adult, and in this toxic culture that we have in our country and in our world, it's kind of reminiscent of that, you know? It wasn't necessarily so prevalent, you know, at like the Tiny House show. But take a good, hard look at some of the people that you saw at that show. They seem like mainstreamers to you? No. I believe the joke that I cracked out there, well, it was like the bus home, the big bus home. And I said it was like a condominium for Burning Man. Right? I cracked a little joke about it. But I love the fact that those people think differently. I may not necessarily want to hang out with them and their dirty kids and their three-legged dog.
Because they never have water to take a bath or whatever.
Whatever. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I support and love the idea that you want to be different.
Right.
Right? And furthermore, I never ever want to think again that I have the right to tell them that they can't be different. And I think a lot of heartache could be done away with in our world if people would maybe take that ideology upon themselves. Anytime you want to change your immediate world around you, change your neighbor, change your thing, change your city, change your whatever. The people you seek to change, are they doing anything to damage your liberty and your freedoms? Or are they just different? Or are they just different thinking than you?
And we shouldn't have the power to change other people. We should only have the power to change ourselves.
Yes.
I mean, change within reason, maybe your friends and family, if you want to, like, help them learn and grow, but not for selfish reasons, like, well, you're going to think my way, it's my way or the highway, because that's very one-sided and not healthy. Well,
these ideas have been done. You know, we've read some of these history books about, I mean, it still goes on today. Yes. Back in the day, it was Christianity or I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Catholicism or you're dead. These days, democracy or we'll bomb you. Right? Think the way we think or else. Right? And I've been saying it for 20-plus years. You know, the idea that these terrorists ride around in their Toyota trucks with their machine guns mounted to them, like they couldn't conquer South Texas, much less to think that they could come over here and do something to America. It's foolish. It's a ridiculous idea, right? North Korea. Oh, my God, North Korea. Yeah, those people eat rats and drive around in 1950 Studebakers. Oh, they might be able to lob a missile. Blow them off the map then, right? Load up the guns and blow them right off the map. Well, there's no money to be made in just ending a war. But anyway, I digress.
How do you celebrate your uniqueness?
By not forcing ideologies onto others anymore.
Just own it. Just own that that's your decisions and you can't make anybody else think any certain way.
I celebrate my own uniqueness by letting there be some mystery about who I am, which will then tend to spur more conversation. And a good example, I think I told you about the kid I had in my Uber back during the run-up to the election. We were going on a, you know, pretty good long trip. And he says to me, he goes, you know, I've been talking to you for like 10 minutes. I still don't know what you are. He was talking about our political philosophies, political ideologies. And I just turned to him and said, thank you. And I pride myself for that.
Because it's not your place to convince someone one way or the other, and you could still have a discussion.
Well, but how many people talk and think that way, though?
Well, no.
Especially with political philosophies, right? It's like, think this way or else you're a libtard.
And you don't even have to guess because they get in there. And I remember
exactly.
Back then, where people would have this conversation with me. And they're like, well, as a Republican or
exactly.
As a Democrat, and you're like, okay. And then they'll say something like, well, are you Democrat? Or they'll say something like, oh, which party are you for? And I was really uncomfortable
and,
with political talk.
And
as you well know.
Because the one I kept throwing at them was they would get in, they'd ask me and say, who did you vote for? And I looked at them and I'd say, Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got to tell me now? Throw some of those bombs at me, please.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's all, I don't know, why it has to be so black and white
because,
all the
well,
time.
Well, that's why I spent that, you know, 10-minute little tirade explaining that, is that this is the toxic ideology that is so rampant in our world,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Everybody wants to put us in the box.
I mean,
we're not already
there. That's the hot-button one, you know, every 4 years is, oh, I'm a donkey. Well, I'm an elephant. Man, let's fight, you know. Let's get out in the street and throw poop at each other and stuff like that. Well, the rest of the time, it's what other types of things can you identify with, you know. And moreover, it's what minority ideology can I get some attention and draw to myself. I like the Ayn Rand expression. The smallest minority is the individual,
mm-hmm.
Right? Because that is a hard, and I mean a really difficult philosophy to uphold. Do you respect individuals? Do you respect individual liberty? And this is something I stumbled onto a long time ago, which is like that, like I said before about whenever you seek to change some person, I always say this to people whenever they start talking about, I hope that this thing gets passed and this law gets done, the one that says that people have to blankety blank. And I always ask them, what are some of your freedoms, what are some of your liberties that you'd be willing to give up in order to force people to do this?
And that never makes any sense to anybody.
And they just look at you like, I don't get it.
What are you talking about?
Well, let's talk about differing opinions and being different. Because we touched on this a little bit a couple of weeks ago about how during that CFR hot button little thing where they were talking about how to report on the domestic terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And how this dovetailed off into the natural living crowd. And I said it then. I'm like, this should scare the crap out of you. This should scare the crap out of me. This should scare the crap out of everybody.
Because not only are we part of that crowd, per se, we're making our voices heard through radio.
And if you are so ignorant that you don't believe that there is, as Alex Jones likes to say, globalist entities out there that preach and teach this type of ideology, well, I just, you know, your head is really far in the sand. I don't even know what to say to people like you. But alternative living, thinking differently, different styles of living, like homesteading.
The tiny houses. Off-grid. Prepping.
The natural living. Preppers. Yeah. These are all different types of things that are being demonized in our culture.
Right? And they're not new, necessarily.
No.
I mean, my grandparents would can and raise their own farm stuff. They had animals and gardens and a pear tree and bees and all of this kind of stuff. My grandma had so much of a pantry full of canned yummy vegetables. And now a generation removed, I was like, wow, why didn't my mom do that? It's not new ideas. It's just maybe out of utilitarian necessity.
Yeah.
Because we've also, in the not-so-distant past, lived through some empty shelves at our grocery store due to some maybe supply chain, maybe some COVID scares, whatever the reason, but...
Or maybe a plan by the globalists to take down America. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Right? But we have to do what's best for our personal body, our personal self, our personal family, our animals, our household, and whatever that means. If that means canning some vegetables there at harvest time, that's what it means. If that means moving to solar and living off-grid or having an RV so you can get the heck out of Dodge, that's what it means.
And I would, you know, it's probably true that we probably have a growing contingency in this country that would say, whenever, you know, I pose that question, what are some of the freedoms you'd be willing to give up in order to make people blank and blank and blank?
Mm-hmm.
It's scary to think that there's a growing contingency of people that would say, yeah, I'd be willing to live in a 6-foot by 8-foot an apartment, or, you know, it kind of resembles a jail cell at that point. But I'd be willing to live in a 6-foot by 8-foot thing in order to make sure that Mary Jane Texas lady doesn't drive a V8 Humvee, you know, soccer mom vehicle.
But we're not all, I mean, we may be equal as far as we are all individuals and all deserve the right to breathe and eat and reproduce and live and all these kind of things, but and have our basic needs met, but we're all unique and we all have different hopes and dreams and desires.
Sure.
And they change. Because sure. That's one of those things as I'm getting a little older that I realize my desires used to be, yeah, the white picket fence with everybody had their own bedroom and you have a guest room, but then, wait a minute, you wake up and your kids are gone. You're like, I don't need as much room. Maybe I need a different lifestyle. Maybe I don't like living in the city. Because, yes, the city is convenient when you have little children. And there's a park on every corner. That's one of the things I loved about the city that I live in. However, I don't have that need for the parks on every corner now. And I'm like, maybe I don't want to live in the city or right next door to my neighbors or this kind of thing. So, I don't know. Your needs change. And the older I get, the more I'm like, well, I wouldn't be opposed to working really hard in the summertime to be able to use my canned vegetables and foods and soups and stews for the winter for sustenance. Just saying. Our needs change. And some of us, this is not new stuff. It's things we've experienced in our life. And some of it is a brand new thing. We've always lived in the city and we're like, I yearn for something different. Or I've always lived at the beach or I've always lived in the desert. It's okay to want something new, to experience different things, and to embrace your uniqueness, I think. And I think experience is where it's at anyway. That's why one of our top things, and I know Donnie is just as passionate about this as I am, is learning. Learning new things. And I am so excited all the time when I conquer and learn something new. Like, I just made some pickles. I didn't process them or anything. They were like a quick pickle, refrigerator type of pickle. And I was like, wow, I did something new. My jelly, I've almost perfected how to make the raspberry jelly, but it's not been without trial and error, but it's been a learning process, and I've enjoyed everybody complimenting and saying how good it was and enjoying eating myself along the path. It's whatever it is you want to learn and grow and better yourself, I say go for it. As long as you're not harming other people, if it's learning how to prep your pantry or store for the winter, or even if it's not, even if to learn how to take the best vacation ever.
Learning how to exercise.
Yep, learning how to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. And brings me to another point that I wrote down is this need, it seems like, that we all have whenever we make that conscious choice of, well, I'm going to do different. I'm going to be the tiny house person. I'm going to be off-grid. I'm going to be...
van life.
Whatever, right? And I'm going to be natural I'm going to eat just organic.
And those are some big.
I'm going to homeschool. I'm going to whatever it is, right? It's whatever differing opinion that you hold now.
That's just not mainstream.
That's just not mainstream, right? This need that we all seem to have to make justifications for it.
And you shouldn't have to justify it. If it's a desire, if it's a deep down need and desire, if I desire to make jelly, I shouldn't have to tell people why I want to make jelly.
And I wrote down a couple of examples like, you know, weight loss.
Yeah.
Right? Like somebody decides like they're going to lose weight. How often do we say, well, I did it because the doctor said my heart. Or I needed to whatever.
Maybe you do need something to spur you, but maybe you want to do it just because you want to look good in those skinny jeans.
Yeah. The other one I wrote was like new religion, right? It's like you were like down with this religion for the better part of your life, and then you all of a sudden like just shuffled up and, you know what, I decided I'm going to go be a Lutheran or something like that. And you have to, like, have this long, drawn-out conversation about all the reasons why you made this decision.
But you shouldn't have to justify it to anybody.
Or political ideology.
I mean, with maybe the small exception of your immediate household, they might want to know why.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have to justify. You should just be able to be like, because I love you and I love me and I want to do this and I want to try this. And I think anybody who's open up for learning and exploration is a winner in my book. If you're willing to learn and grow, that's where it starts, because that's the only way we're going to learn what doesn't work for us is by trying.
Because we've talked about this at great length in the show about, you know, once you've made up your mind and you're putting that thought into action, you know, and how hard, you know, change can be.
Uh-huh.
And when you're making that change, you come out on the other side and then you're like, okay, I'm thinking differently, I'm living differently, I'm different now. And if it's a change for the better, then it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something that you just hold as an ideology, a personal ideology, right? Then there again is that need for justification a lot of times to the normies, to the mainstreamers, right?
That's when it doesn't hurt to seek out your like subgroup, your little mini group of people that also understand, but that's just a personal thing.
I'm gonna just agree to disagree on that.
Well, we are creatures of language, and we want to be able to talk freely with somebody. And if I was going to go, I don't know, learn some more girl things, whether it's sewing or something, you might support me, but you wouldn't know how to help and you know, help me proceed
through
my journey.
Aside from buying you a bag of yarn.
Right.
Right.
And so I may need to go find a group of women that are, it doesn't have to be women, but a group of souls that choose to do, maybe I want to be a fashion designer or something way outside of it, things that we've never even thought of. I want to make my own clothes and I don't know where to start. So I go find a group of people that do. But this is just in the learning journey. This is not necessarily because I want to be like, I'm a homemade clothes person or whatever. I make my clothes from scratch. And that's just one example. It's not because I've got a deficit. It's because I've got a need, a desire, a yearning to learn something. I get it also, too, if maybe you've got cancer or something like this and you either don't have a supportive family or maybe you're older and don't have a lot of family or maybe you never had kids or never got married and you might need a support group. So I fully support the support group. I just think that maybe don't wholly use that as your crutch to identify your unique person of self. That's one small piece of you. I'm an ASU student, but I'm not only an ASU student. I'm also a mom and a grandma and a girlfriend and a radio show host and all these other things. I'm not just one. I don't pick one label that I like. I like to use my name, and this is me. This is all me.
And whenever you come out on the other side, you're now different.
Mm-hmm.
there's a, this kind of, you know, goes back to what we were saying about how change can be hard,
mm-hmm.
is that redefinition, the redefining of yourself. I use you an example, you know, whenever I've always seen myself as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Now my kids are grown and they're gone. Well, redefining yourself, you know, is really hard. You know, that whole empty nester syndrome that, you know, we've talked about. Well, whenever people make this, you know, life-affirming decision, and they want to come out on the other side. I was Johnny Smoker. Now I'm this. Whenever it's a change for the better, we usually want to shout it from the rooftops,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because we want to help everybody understand what we just learned.
And there lies the problem. That is a huge problem, especially if it's your new religion or
your new relationship.
A new book that you just read that's like
living conditions
that just completely blew your mind, and you're like, hey, let me tell you something that I know now that you probably don't know.
Your new way to procure food.
Yes. You start deep diving into health and nutrition, and then you want to go and like, oh my God, did I ever tell you that this food is so bad for you? Yeah, well, all of these subjects, you know, you got to know your audience.
Yep.
Right? And whenever you come out on the other side changed and you're different, you now have a different opinion about this and you have different ideas about that, and you're not necessarily mainstreaming it anymore, it's a tough process, right? Again, if you went from, you know, being overweight to losing a bunch of weight, right, that's an easy one. That's like everybody's like, oh, hey, good job. You lost weight. You look great. I hope you feel great. That's great. Bye-bye. What if you decide that, you know what? I don't believe in the political duopoly of American politics anymore. I think it's all smoke and mirrors, and it's about as real as WWE wrestling, and I don't believe that way anymore. Well, try taking that philosophy to a Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, that sort of stuff goes over about like a fart in church,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Or I've had my kids in public school, and I'm going to take them out. We're going to live in a van and go cross country and learn.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big, huge, drastic step,
yeah.
especially when all the other family is like, oh, no, no, no.
Right. Oh, have I tried the new Doritos Taco Crunch? No, I haven't because fast food is poison. Right?
We don't even know how to order a fast food.
People look at you like, you're one of those people, aren't you? Right? Well, you're thinking differently. Your
palate changes, though, when you start eating differently.
You have that different opinion. I was over here in aisle one. I'm now over here in aisle 10.
Yep.
And people looking at you differently is one thing, but the redefining yourself can be tough as well. I imagine this is, you know, I've lost weight, but I didn't lose it like all of a sudden. I've done it very gradually. People tell me that I've done it the right, proper, healthy sort of way.
Because it's staying off.
Right. And the people that, like, get the lap band or the stomach staple, whatever you want to call that, right?
They sometimes just rebound.
Where they just jump, like, 150 pounds in a few months. They all have flopping skin and everything else.
And they have to have an extra surgery.
Yeah, and that's got to be pretty mind-boggling and mind-blowing, you know?
Especially if you gain the weight back and have to go through it again or because you think that's the only option.
Yes, yeah.
I can't imagine.
So, all right, we got about 10 minutes left. We've talked a lot about the cognitive dissonance that, you know, kind of comes up, the brain pain, as we say. It comes along with thinking differently.
But it's essential.
Being outside the mainstream,
mm-hmm.
right?
Own your uniqueness and celebrate it.
Right.
Dive in head first.
Right.
Especially as you get older, you don't get a second chance.
Want to be an anti-vaxxer? Be an anti-vaxxer. You want to be a libertarian? Be a libertarian. You want to be a Republican? Be a Republican.
We live in literally the information age. The information is out there if you want to soak it up.
Yep, absolutely. But I think that, you know, this is one that I had to wrestle with myself on a very deep and personal level, was when I was undergoing some changes that I was going through, I had to stop and say, am I changing for the better? You know?
It's a good question. It's a good check-in.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there's growing pain. I mean, even if you're losing weight, you could get grumpy, you could get mad, you could, you know, have a bad day and beat yourself up or be mad at other people or mad at people that won't listen to you because you're trying to teach them how to eat the right way. There could be growing pain.
Well, I mean, I've listened to you, you know, talk about how much you love vegetables, and you were with a very much meat and potatoes kind of guy
mm-hmm.
for the longest time. I was with somebody that liked me the way I was. I did not necessarily like me the way I was. And whenever I decided I wanted to change, she necessarily did not want me to.
Well, change can be scary.
And,
especially
and
if you're
brought accustomed to that's why
somebody.
I brought that question.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I had to keep posing that question. Am I worse off or am I better off?
And that's so difficult in an intimate relationship like that because maybe not both people are ready to change. And maybe one person is not ready for the other person to change. Maybe there's a reason. And it could be as simple as, I don't want you to weigh less than me. Like, as a woman, I don't want a man that weighs less than me. But everybody's got their preference. Everybody's got their ideal preferences. Some people don't want a person shorter than them. We've all got our things.
Sure.
And some people don't want somebody who's, like, not going to sit and watch the TV with them. And some people are okay with that. Donnie and I are okay doing some different things from time to time. We take turns with the remote. We do different activities, but we always talk about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the healthiest part of our relationship, that's the thing that's best that's come from our past experiences. You know what? If you don't like something, talk about it, because that is the only way to have your voice heard.
True. So, another question
mm-hmm.
to maybe bounce off yourself is, I'm different. I'm changed. I'm not mainstream. How does this affect my friends and family? How is it affecting my friends and family?
It can alienate you, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
In a big way, especially if you wear your uniqueness out in front, like, hey, everybody, just so you know,
yeah.
I'm not like you fools, or something of this nature. And if you don't know when to maybe separate that and go, you know what, this is family, I love them, and I'll just support them no matter what, and it's okay if I don't talk to them about my new lifestyle.
And that's just it. You know, sometimes you'll run up against it with when they ask you your opinion, and then you get about three sentences into it, and then they go, then they realize, I'm really did want to hear his opinion.
Yep. Because some people aren't ready to change, and that's so hard. That's so hard for me to understand, and it's been, because as I learned about health and wellness, and I was still working in customer service, and I wanted to tell everybody, but I realized it wasn't my place. If somebody would ask, I would jump at the opportunity to tell them what I knew, but you just can't jump down people's throats and tell them everything when they're not ready. You just have to make sure that people know what you're about in a not persuasive way, so that if they get ready, they know who to turn to if they've got questions.
Another question. How is my view of myself?
And that's
how
a tough one.
How am I viewing myself?
That's a tough one. You got to stick with it.
And how is my view of others? Because I'll just speak personally to this one, that a lot of times whenever you stumble upon things that go out of the mainstream, and I don't care what it is, you can put it on the food, right? We talk about food and say, GMO is poison. Organic is better. There's garbage out there trying to give me cancer and kill me, right? Well, this can just slippery slope you right into a very, what I've heard term, a poisoned worldview. Mm-hmm. And
then what are you going to eat and drink if everything's poison?
It leads to that tribalism that I started off talking about today. Get in my tribe of hating on Taco Bell and hating on McDonald's, hating on sugar, and we'll all be a bunch of salad-chewing hippies together.
But whenever you say stuff like that, I go back to that point of everything in moderation, and I guarantee you if I was hungry and our car was broke down on a road trip and there was only Taco Bell, then I'd probably eat a Taco Bell.
If all that there was 7-Eleven taquitos,
I'd probably
right?
eat that.
Hey, how long has that hot dog been rolling around on that wheel up there, right?
Because it comes down to necessity as well. If
yeah.
you're at your home and you're comfortable,
right.
it's fine. If it's your last dollar and your choice is to spend it on, you know, a $1 hot dog or starve for the night, maybe get the hot dog.
Right.
It's some of the choices are out of our control. And so we have to do the best we can with what we've got.
Well, that's what I was saying is like, so whenever you're undergoing this change, right? And you plug in whatever you want to into that. Anyway, I use the thing about food, right? Political ideologies, religion, right? Whenever you're wanting to make changes, you're thinking differently, you're going to be different, you're going to come out on the other side different. How is my view of myself?
Mm-hmm.
How is my view of others? I wish I would have done that one more. I wish I would have taken some more personal inventory.
It's not too late.
And done some more stock, you know, and again, you know, sit down and how am I viewing others? Am I looking at everyone with a certain bit of pity? Oh, you stupid sheeples. You don't understand anything, do you? This type of idea, this is straight line to the poison worldview, where you come out on the other side and you think that everybody's a bunch of retards and you've got the enlightened, you know, bull by the horns.
But you're not willing to share it or to help others.
Well, you're afraid to, because everybody else is too stupid to understand the information that you are in possession of that completely blew your mind. I know something you don't know. That type of philosophy, that type of thinking. It's bad. It's bad.
And that's definitely not benefiting the greater good at all.
This is a major problem because we don't know how to talk to one another, right?
I wish more people would get their phones out of their face and talk to one another.
Yes. And a lot of times, I've said this before, you know, a person's flawed ideologies can sometimes be dismantled just by placing the proper questions into there, right? If you can pose the right question to somebody about some of their own dumb stuff that they believe, and then they just sit there with that not-so-bright look on their face, and they go, I don't know. I've never really thought about it like that. Then you say, I don't know. Maybe you should think about it like that. Nice knowing you. Bye-bye. Right? Now, last question. It's a big one.
Great. We're going to end it with a big question?
It's that metaphysical type question whenever you come up against the wall of wanting to change, wanting to think different, wanting to go outside the mainstream. Is the juice worth the squeeze?
It may be a lot of work. And it may not end up with the desired effect that you had originally anticipated. And you may alienate friends and family in the meantime, and you may have a body or mind that is not the same and you can't go back. Because a lot of times we can't unlearn or unchange what's been done.
Yeah.
That's a big one. That's a tricky one.
Yeah. Whenever you want to make that change.
It's
stop,
easier.
Ask some
of
those
people.
Questions and see, you know, make sure you're going to come out on the other side a better person. And I'm definitely not saying that it's imperative to have people like you. But be true to you. Tip is no stay. You know what that is? Know thyself, right? That's the question that keeps us all going, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go back to Captain Spock on this one. Change is the only constant in the universe. Okay?
Right, because we're going to change whether we like it or not, whether we plan to or not.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
Yes.
Well, thanks for joining us.
This has been a good talk.
We'll see you again next week. Feel free to re-listen to those questions and answer those on your own time in your journal, or give us a comment or a message and let us know what you thought about the questions if you like those. They're so
good. Come back and be with us next week. We're talking about my favorite subject next week, I believe.
Food.
It's going to be food.
I like food, too.
I like food.
We have mentioned that we're foodies. Yeah.
All right. Join us back next week. Foodapalooza, everybody. Y'all take care.
Approved.
Yep. Y'all take care. We love you. Bye-bye.